Welcome to episode 1402 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The story begins in the early morning. Jesus is in the temple, teaching. The crowd gathers around him to listen. Then the scribes and Pharisees interrupt. They bring a woman. They are public. They are dramatic. They want an audience. Listen to what happens in John 8, verses 3 to 5.
The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?"
They have a woman who has committed adultery. The law is clear. The penalty is death by stoning. They are testing Jesus. They want to see if he will uphold the law or if he will show mercy. But notice something crucial. They bring only the woman, not the man. The law applied equally to both. But only the woman is brought forward. Only the woman is exposed. Only the woman is condemned. This is already an injustice. The judgment is selective. The condemnation is one-sided. The Pharisees are using the law, but they are using it unjustly. Jesus does something unexpected. He bends down and writes on the ground with his finger. The text does not tell us what he writes, but he writes. Then he straightens up and says in verse 7,
"Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her."
Jesus does not deny the woman's sin. He does not say, "She did not commit adultery." He does not minimize what she has done. But Jesus shifts the focus. He turns the accusation inward. He asks, "Who among you is without sin? Who among you has the standing to judge?" And then Jesus bends down again and continues writing. The effect is dramatic. One by one, beginning with the older ones, the accusers leave. They walk away. They cannot answer Jesus' question. They cannot claim to be without sin. Soon, only Jesus and the woman remain. Jesus straightens up and asks the woman,
"Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?"
"No one, sir."
"Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin."
Notice what Jesus does and does not do. He does not condemn. He does not say, "You deserve to die. You have broken the law. You are guilty and must be punished." But Jesus also does not excuse. He does not say, "It is okay. Everyone makes mistakes. Do whatever you want." Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." This is grace and truth together. Mercy without minimizing sin. Acceptance without enabling destructiveness. One of the most important aspects of this story is what Jesus does for the woman's dignity. When the Pharisees bring her, she is exposed, humiliated, made a public spectacle, reduced to her sin, treated as an object lesson. The Pharisees do not see her as a person. They do not care about her pain or her circumstances or her humanity. She is merely a tool in their attempt to trap Jesus. But Jesus sees her. Jesus speaks to her directly, addresses her as woman, a term of respect. Jesus restores her personhood, and Jesus does something else. By asking the accusers about their own sin, he levels the ground. Jesus suggests the accuser and the accused are not fundamentally different. Both are sinners. Both are guilty. Both stand in need of grace. The Pharisees assumed they were morally superior to this woman. But Jesus' question exposes the falsity of that assumption. We are all sinners. All fall short. All stand in need of forgiveness. This is profoundly healing. The woman, who came expecting to die, who came expecting only condemnation, discovers she is seen, heard, valued. Her humanity is restored. Jesus' approach reveals something important about how to handle sin. He speaks the truth. Does not pretend the woman has not sinned. Does not redefine adultery as something acceptable. But Jesus speaks the truth without condemnation. He does not use truth as a weapon. Does not use the woman's sin to demean her or devalue her. There is a difference between telling someone the truth about their sin and condemning them for it. Condemnation says, "You are bad, irredeemable, deserve to be destroyed." Truth-telling says, "This is what you have done. It has consequences. But you are still a person of worth, still capable of change. There is still hope." Jesus speaks truth, but speaks it in a way that opens the possibility of transformation, not the certainty of destruction. Jesus' words contain both elements, grace and demand. Neither do I condemn you. This is grace, an offer of forgiveness, restoration of relationship despite sin. Go now and leave your life of sin. This is demand, a call to change. This is not permission to continue in adultery. This is an invitation to a different way of living. Mercy without demand can become enablement. If Jesus had said only, "Neither do I condemn you, do whatever you want," then he would be saying that the woman's sin does not matter, that infidelity is acceptable, that there are no consequences. But that is not what Jesus says. He calls the woman to leave her life of sin. He calls her to transformation. Mercy, properly understood, calls us to change. It says, "You have been forgiven, given a second chance. Now live differently. Become someone different." This is far more demanding than condemnation. Condemnation simply judges and leaves. Mercy judges and then calls forth new life. What does this story teach us about the seventh commandment? First, it teaches us that the commandment protects something sacred: covenant relationships, dignity, the integrity of the heart. When someone commits adultery, they have violated something that matters profoundly. But second, it teaches us that even when someone has violated the commandment, restoration is possible. Even after infidelity, grace is available. Even after betrayal, forgiveness can be offered. This is crucial. Many marriages end after infidelity because people assume that once the covenant has been broken, it cannot be restored. But the story of the woman caught in adultery suggests something different. It suggests broken covenants can be healed, that betrayed trust can be restored, that people can change. This does not mean infidelity is acceptable, does not mean there are no consequences, does mean that if both people are willing, if the one who committed adultery is willing to repent and transform, and if the one who was betrayed is willing to forgive and rebuild, restoration is possible. There is something else important in this story. The Pharisees who brought the woman are never addressed again. They leave when Jesus asks about their own sin. But the text does not tell us if they repent. It does not tell us if they experience transformation. This suggests something important. Grace is available, but not everyone accepts it. Some people prefer judgment. Some people prefer the moral superiority that comes from condemning others. Some people would rather maintain their illusion of righteousness than acknowledge their own sin and receive mercy. Jesus' grace is always available, but grace requires something of us: that we acknowledge our sin, that we accept our need for forgiveness, that we allow ourselves to be changed. If we refuse this, insist on our own righteousness, and prefer judgment of others to acknowledgement of ourselves, then we cut ourselves off from grace. Not because grace is not offered, but because we will not receive it. The story of the woman caught in adultery reveals the fullness of Jesus' approach to sin. He speaks truth, calls to accountability, but he also extends grace. Jesus restores dignity. He opens the possibility of transformation. The seventh commandment matters. The violation of covenant matters. But people matter more than rules. And grace, grace that demands change while offering hope, is more powerful than condemnation. When we extend grace like Jesus did, we create the conditions for genuine transformation. We create communities where people can acknowledge their failures without being destroyed by shame. We create spaces where broken covenants can be healed. This is not being soft on sin. This is being profoundly serious about sin, but being more serious about people, more serious about redemption, more serious about the possibility of becoming new. Father, help us extend grace like Jesus extended grace. Grace that speaks truth without condemnation and calls to transformation while restoring dignity. Help us see the humanity in those who fail. Help us refuse to use judgment as a weapon to make ourselves feel superior. Help us acknowledge our own need for grace so we can offer it to others. Help us create communities where people can confess, be forgiven, and be transformed. Help us understand grace is not soft on sin. Grace demands change, but grace also offers hope. Help us become instruments of your grace, truthful and merciful, demanding and compassionate. And help us experience the freedom that comes from accepting grace for ourselves. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.